Good time to all of you. This is Lena Life. I'm happily back with Lena Mermont's presentation, and I like to continue on my topics, which was dedicated to some special thoughts which we will keep as a memory of a disappearing year, and we will make our own bridge to meet the new year. Well, before we'll follow with these thoughts and some stories which I hope to share with you and find your interest, I'd like certainly to welcome BBS, which is working just as extensively and just as happily in this busy holiday time. And on this note, I'd like to go into perhaps a little bit of a sad subject, because I feel that sadness can bring that much more meaning to our life if we relate with our human values, our own dreams. And I hope it will not be much of a heavy-duty thought, considering that we are in a holiday season, and also considering the fact that the series of my programs had quite a weight and ideas and some colors of psychology with all previous guests and their experiences. However, I do not want to sound apologetic. I want to sound as human as I can. And with this note of sadness, I like to certainly bring my own tribute and my own very deeply respectable thoughts for two people which we lost this past week. We certainly all share tremendous tragic end of life of Elizabeth Edwards. And in our own rights, we certainly can imagine, or to be more precise, not imagine, what kind of sharing and grief the family is experiencing these times. I do not really want to go much into some complexity of their family issues, and unfortunately it was somewhat public display, and even though there is a nature of human curiosity and nature of human judgment, but that's not what it is all about. It's more about her own life, her tremendous courageous role as a mother, as a politician, as an educator, and mostly important right now, is a beautiful, most incredibly unique memory we will have about this woman. I will certainly hope that we all will be able to not only to be inspired by the courage of this lady, but also to think about our own accomplishments, our own perhaps thinking about ourselves, smaller courageous moments here and there, but we're certainly facing them in everyday life, because a lot of them relate to our children, relate to our loved ones. And not that we need to compare, but we just have to be more aware that the sense of courage has no limitations. And it's also incredibly inspiring moments when we feel that we can face something which may be very painful, and we are not losing ourselves in this, and we can find the moments of handling that. On this note, I like to remember, in my own modest right, the legacy and the life of this beautiful, most incredibly unique woman, Elizabeth Edwards. I will certainly welcome you to listen to piece of music written by Julian Lambert. And after this, we will continue our program and we will go to some other individuals who made remarkable and mostly unique mark in our own life. So this is to memory of Elizabeth Edwards. And I hope that my sadness was interpreted as a human touch to very special people who truly made a very special impact on our own life, certainly on our children's life. And I also feel that in certain way, when we are facing with a woman's courage, we particularly feel privileged because we cannot run away from the fact that we are associating woman firstly with the motherhood, with womanhood, and with all this gentle, discreet, and certainly special qualities. Yet certainly a movement of feminism, not much changed that, but I would say enriched that, with the fact that the woman became just as powerful, maybe sometimes a little bit more powerful than the man, even though men don't want to recognize this. But we have this wonderful, very peaceful confrontation. And I certainly believe that life of such a courageous woman as Elizabeth Edwards certainly contributed to the fact that woman's voice and her role is just as important as any other human being, man or woman. Just to make another sad comment, but again, life is life. There was a very tragic death of an outstanding politician, Richard Charles Albert Holbrooke. And I just could not help and could not refuse to not only to mention his name, but to acknowledge this outstanding figure. And it is truly not important whether we do agree with details or perhaps some fundamental concept of his political view and his political accomplishments. Just the accomplishments itself are just so overwhelming. It is not only dynamically diverse, but it is just incredibly enriched with so many multitask roles and presence in this country and in international arena. When I was acquainting myself with his life, I was stunned. I think a few people could certainly be quite busy and quite occupied with activities of this one man. He was not perhaps on frontier of some other names like we hear on our prime time journalism. He also was not even that often appeared in some political talk shows, but that does not diminish at all his role and his political influence. I personally found him in one way critically important because he was on those moments, at that very important moments of the history, demanding, mostly important, quite courageous. Again, courage was one of the part of his political vision and his very straightforward expression of it. When he was a special representative for Afghanistan and Pakistan under the Obama administration, perhaps we did not have clear vision and clear understanding what was his role, simply because we did not have that much of opportunity, with the exception of someone who would certainly go to internet, be that more diligent, that much more attentive and penetrating to his role. But that's not really only his accomplishments and his role, because his diversification, as I mentioned before, was way before this position, quite astonishing, because he had his journey as American diplomat, magazine editor, author, professor. He was also an investment banker. So he had a taste of life from all these different points, and collaboratively speaking, if I could invent this word, he produced that backbone of international and domestic political foundation. It is very sad, unfortunately, that perhaps we learn about this outstanding individual after his death. But in the same time, life is life, and it's better to learn about someone later than never. It is also understandable that we cannot definitely absorb all information which is politically so enriched today and so dynamically changing almost on an hourly basis. But I think it's important to stress the fact that this individual was one of those I mentioned who made a difference in a year which is going away. He also certainly set the tone, some people say old school, of thinking, education, perhaps some political vision. But for whatever, it is mostly important the quality of this person who took his mission in the world selflessly and extremely devoted to his country and to himself. I'm not sure which one was the most important, but there is a certain invisible harmony. When I was talking about journalism in the last in my last program, I was pointing to certain idea where we really depend upon journalism, almost just like we depend upon the report of the weather. This is our life. This is our events. These are ideas and practicality. And I hope that in the new year, we will be somewhat a little bit more open-minded and looking not only for the facts, but also hear some ideas, because the new year will be that much more challenged with our own personal expansion. After all, one said that your mind is like a parachute. It only works when it's open. On this note, I like to honor the life of Richard Charles Albert Holbrook with another very beautiful, and I feel very appropriate, piece of music by Julian Lambert. To move on to people who are very much alive, and I am looking forward to share a few names which particularly impressed me because they are caring, genuinely, profoundly human traditions, and not to be extremely controversial, but I would like to be somewhat truthful and make a statement that it is a bit harder in our days to be just as free human being as we used to, perhaps a few years ago. It's not a negative, it's a reality. And the reality is because, as we talked about this number of occasions, technology somewhat is challenging our human nature. So we have this hidden, a bit challenging us dialogue. It's not much who's going to win, but it's indeed about this dialogue. Who is moving whom is very important. It is truly remarkable phenomena that our technology presents a challenge to human mind. There are some dreamers. One of them was great Professor Lerner, who was one of the founder of artificial intellect, who was indeed dreaming of creating this balance between human technology and technology which is for human. So, of course, we touch in some philosophy. We can talk about some dialectic here. But without going that far and that deep and coming back to our everyday life, we certainly have challenges. And speed is not always the greatest thing. And we are certainly need to be reminded that the timing and time somehow should complement each other. There is a little joke which I remember about one pianist who was challenged to play one piece by Chopin in 40 seconds. And the joke is because the composer, Chopin, called this piece a minute waltz. So when this pianist was challenged, played in 40 seconds, and asked the music engineer, sound engineer, why do I need to play so fast? And the sound engineer answered, you need it because that's how much time has left on the tape. So if Chopin will known about such an answer, he certainly would not be very happy and very convinced. And yet in our time, difference between 40 seconds and 1 minute is absolutely huge. Because as I mentioned in my very, very first program, you just make that tiny little push on the computer and the whole thing will change. So I like to talk about one individual who actually was introduced by Fox News, and he was a guest of Glenn Beck, who particularly was engaging and very sincere in giving his guest opportunity to talk about himself. And I want to put politics on the side, even though it is very hard to do because our political views are part of our life. So, yes, I'm playing a little game here and contradicting myself. But I still will emphasize the fact of human conviction, human presence, human values here. And I would not say that I particularly agree with Mr. Glenn Beck's points of view, but I was very touched by his guests and the way he introduced his guest. The name of his guest was a Mr. Huntsman, who was one of the founder of the greatest qualities of philanthropy in this country for the last 10 years. He's certainly one of those philanthropists who followed his incredibly beautiful and pure moral standards. I'm not saying those words very lightly. And I also not saying those words because I want to introduce this man as a very impressive individual. I'm introducing him with these words because indeed, personally, he was everything but any kind of unreal or fake display of just impressive accomplishments. He wrote a book which called Winners Never Cheat. And when he was asked the question with almost interpretation, what he really meant by this, he gave a very sincere answer. And he said that he was living all his life with this answer. He felt that if his heart tells him certain things, and if his mind directs him in certain direction, this is the way for him to go. There was something very convincing in the presence of this man. There was something in between the line which was even stronger than on the line what he said. And I have to confess that one comment which Mr. Glenn Beck followed moved me very deeply. He said that in time of holiday season, we are certainly prompt to share our time. We certainly need to share as much as we can. And then he adds something which really touched my soul. He said, the less we have, that much more meaningful it becomes our sharing. I like to hope that we all find this comment just as important as it is to share perhaps some gift or share a certain promise. Because no matter how hard times are, holiday, we're looking forward to it. Yes, of course, we are dancing in our mixed emotions. We are incredibly challenged by those emotions. We cannot perhaps find a balance between what we've been hoping to do and did not get yet what was our goal. But we're certainly free to think. We're certainly free to communicate. And there is no secret, unfortunately, we developed quite a bit of the fear of communication because of the issues we had in the previous years, because, of course, economy, because of everyday challenges, because some people lost their homes and they have no answer. But I feel as a result of all these challenges, we inevitably force to experience more sharings. I was talking last program about the role of a computer getting information, and that's absolutely incredible momentum of getting this information from any place of the world. And the people who know some foreign languages that much freer to get information they can. But there is nothing can take a place of a fantastically gifted, humanly sensitive journalist who can express the news, who can deliver the news, who can make a certain dialogue with the listener, making that news that much more important, that much more valuable, clear, and memorable. So I would certainly address the fact that sharing is totally limitless and sharing becomes even more important in critical times. Perhaps we are expanding more with our emotions, and it is sometimes scary because it's like in a keyboard, you know how to play 5, 10, 15 notes, but there are 92 notes. So there is a curiosity. How those notes might sound? Let's try them. Let's touch them. It's like a new flavor of some kind of exotic food or new flavor of human being. I always feel that an abstract communication takes away a lot of threat and a lot of fear to listen to some kind of wild music which you never heard before, can engage in most incredible communication. It's not sound like a fairy tale. Yes, it is somewhat form of meditation, but I'm trying to keep it very, very real. After all, great musicians, great conductors with their incredibly long life found their communication in those explosive moments of music. But that doesn't need to be only music. It needs to be this, just a touch of eye contact with our children, or maybe little tiny thoughts about someone which we wanted to call, didn't have time. All of these things will certainly create this perfume of sharing. I like to touch this thought with music of Julian Lambert, who indeed extremely generously sharing with all of us his musical gift. I hope that from now on our program will have much more uplifting notes. We will have more music. But I like to come back to my story about this remarkable gentleman, Mr. Huntsman. I was so inspired, frankly, that I left his name, traveling to some other ideas, which relates to all of us in everyday life, this idea of holiday sharing, which will hopefully expand the new year. But I'd like to come back to this gentleman, because he's sharing, indeed, just incredibly generous. Of course, he is most famous for his Huntsman Cancer Institute, which he is a founder and actually totally devoted to this institution. And during the course of the program and his interview, there was a very powerful hope, which has to do with, I would say, not medical, but more of a spiritual promise to find cancer cure inside of this institute. There is certainly tremendous power of energy and devotion attached to this person, who is so incredibly modest and almost, I would say, deceptively human, considering amount of accomplishments he made. For some reason, I did not feel that him being billionaire is one of the most important success, even though, of course, without this tremendous amount of money, he would not be able to express himself with his passion and such generosity. But there are different situations where people certainly expressing themselves with their money, I found that it's an absolute golden example where material and human are living together. I also felt that that sets the tone for other cancer institutions and also perhaps inspires the whole medical care to become that much more manageable, even though it is very challenging part of our lives, has its own problems. But I found that there are certain strong notes of optimism where Mr. Huntsman shared his views of life. Someone asked him, how do you do all of this? Being a philanthropist, being a politician, being spokesman, being family man. He is, of course, a husband, father, and a grandfather. I remembered his answer very clearly because he said, one adds to another. I don't see any separation. I feel that my individual roles in everything I'm doing is a part of the whole big picture. In my very, very modest rights, I was somewhat relieved because when I started my series and became a host, I felt that unless I'm touching all kinds of life and have different kinds of guests, I would not really deliver my message about the life, because life is endless with its ideas, with its problems, with its everyday rising issues. But then I felt, well, if I'm too busy with my ideas, then it will not be that much focused. Well, if I lost my focus, at least I was sincere to keep the bouquet of my diversification, because I feel this is the only way to try and honor every little moment, every little detail, every little issue in our life, because whatever is little today will become big or huge tomorrow. In fact, my students know my favorite expression. I feel that life consists of little big and big little things. It, of course, takes some time, process wisdom, and understanding what is little and what is big. Let's reflect on this note with another piece of Julian Lambert's music. Well, that was certainly very uplifting, and I hope I didn't break my promise to elevate my spirit on this program and correspond more to the holiday spirit. And that certainly will correlate with my continuous information and admiration for this remarkable man's life, Mr. Huntsman. I mentioned about his multi-roles, and I like to be more specific and tell you that he was married to a lady by name Karen for more than 50 years. He is a parent of 9 children, and he has 56 grandchildren. I think they could just make their own country. It's very interesting that 2 of his children are adopted, one from China and another one from India. I was so moved by this because that tells me how much of unlimited open mind this person has, also his family. That is truly remarkable example how a classically American, philosophically well-rounded person can be open to any kind of opportunity, to any kind of mission which will bring goodness, which will certainly embraced by so many countries and will be taken as an example where family certainly can be such a wonderful anchor to anyone who will be open to merge with us, such a family. And I cannot imagine more of the cultural challenges between not only between Mr. Huntsman's family, but also between these 2 children, between China and India. So you can only imagine what a remarkable household and remarkable spiritual openness this family could provide for those 2 children. And speaking about an adoption, this is just the most remarkable and unique bravery I feel on a part of human being, because it is such a unknown journey. It is quite challenging to have child of your own, but when you stretching your efforts and you expanding to the maximum your parenthood, that becomes that much more admirable and that much more incredibly beautiful. So I think we can be thankful to Mr. Huntsman's family, who set the tone for his own huge family with their accomplishments. In fact, his son was elected governor of Utah in 2004, his son John. And I believe his elder son also had an important position. But it's not only about positions and formal accomplishments. It's a true human accomplishment. And it is something which I do hope we will still honor in the new year, because there is a little bit of a danger where we feel that material wealth can somewhat compete with intellectual wealth. I hope that we will catch this competition, level with this, and find a harmony where we are as an individuals will not only will win the war. It's not much about the war with the materialism. It's a more of enjoyment of this materialism for our level of intellectual, spiritual, emotional development, because we all love things which are nice. We all love things which feel good. Not only there is nothing wrong with this, I think we should embrace it even stronger. It's just we have to treasure emotion just as a beautiful gift. We cannot deny it. And even if it is scary emotion, it is ours. Whatever is ours is treasure. And whatever is treasure is treasure. Let's hear another piece of music of Julian Lambert, which is another little piece of human treasure. And that was music by Julian Lambert, which leads me to talk a little bit about a beautiful event in our life as a musicians, as a professionals, and as a human being. I like to graduate this program with a wonderful news that we are opening a new company, which called The Music Garden, because it is very, very cold. I feel that this opening will warm many people's hearts because we already made a lot of promises with our concerts, teaching, and mostly important, sharing in the international arena our ideas. And we're going to have grand opening in the middle of this month. We also will have our website finally done by our publicist, Alison Dawn, who is very talented publicist in her own right. And we also will have some other publicity and preview of our local television channel, but local is not even coming close to describe the magnificent role of this television channel with Jeanine Rose as a music director. So we're looking forward to this very exciting event with the musicians of international names who are going to perform jazz, classical, and Latin music. We will have some video, audio, and some of the episodes of this music I will certainly play in my few first programs in January. So I like to share this news with all of you and hope that BBS will collaborate with us, and somehow we will make that excitement even more pronounced with a musical and a human expression. And on this note, I will thank BBS for another edition of the program, another gesture to all of us. And on this holiday note, I will certainly wish all of you continue to enjoy this special holiday time with your thoughts, with your personal colors, with your dreams, with your pains, but certainly with your wealth as a human being. On this note, I will say goodbye until next Tuesday. That was Lina Mirmont, Lina Live. Until soon. Thank you.